Welcome to Publishing Dribble, the podcast that breaks the rules and helps you kickstart your career as a successful nonfiction author and entrepreneur. I'm your host, Malene Benson. Hello, Publishing Rebels. Today, my guest is Katie Mullen. She's a sales trainer, speaker, podcaster, blogger, and author. She spent almost 20 years in sales across many industries and has researched customers in over 20 states on how they would like to be treated in a sales situation. This research, combined with her many years of sales experience, is the foundation of her business and her book. So, Katie, congratulations on your book. It's not too long ago since it came out.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Yes, it was in September that it came out, so not too long ago.
So what is your ultimate goal now going on to this author journey?
Well, even before I became an author, my core business was doing sales trainings where I would go out and train sales teams or do speaking engagements. So I do actually love books. I love to read books. And I have always wanted to write a book. So it was really exciting for me to combine the book journey with my ultimate goal, which was more speaking engagements, and using the book in addition to the speaking engagements and kind of using them together. I've gotten to a point now where I do some trainings where they'll read the book first and we'll use that as the jumping off point, which is really fun because they've already had time to absorb the information. So when we do our workshops, it makes them really helpful and really beneficial for them as opposed to just giving them some food for thought.
So that's how you use the book during your presentation? But how do you use it to get speaking engagements?
Well, I use it to get speaking engagements for a couple different ways. I feel like because I'm an author, people are more likely. For example, I just got somebody today that was asking for me to do a conference. And one of the reasons that she reached out to me was because I had a book. And so that made me, you know, sort of more of an authority. But then when I wrote the book, what I really did was I took my 8 hours or so of sales training content that I already was doing and already had all set up. And then I put it into a book. And so, you know, there's a lot of additions to it, new stories and the format's a little different and all that, but the content is really very similar. So it creates an environment where I could come in and just give the content in an 8 hour period, or I can have them read the book first. And then we spend half the time, so maybe only 4 hours, where we do workshops, because what I train on is how to write good emails, how to give good presentations, how to make a good phone call. And so we can use the content and they can practice all those skills rather than just sort of learning the content. So it's really taking the content even a step further by using the book ahead of time. So that makes it really cool.
And have you experienced that it has been easier to get them to read the book rather than watch the course?
Well, no, they do because their boss makes them do the calls. And it's usually an in-person training if I do it. And so they're there. I mean, they have to be there. It's part of their job. I would say it's tending to be a little bit, I have to really impress upon them. Listen, they have to read the book ahead of time because if they don't, they're going to be completely lost and they're going to, you know, basically be sitting in the corner, not understanding what's happening. But I have found for the most part, they've been very compliant in that. And I think it helps that the book I hear from people is very relatable. It's very easy to read. It's, you know, there's a lot of fun, interesting stories in it. So it's not like something they have to slog through. They kind of just zip through it and that makes it pretty easy.
Yeah, sounds good. And you say it's research-based. Tell us about that research.
Yeah. So when I first started in sales, I really wanted to read all the books I could find. And there are tons of great sales books out there for sure. But one of the things I really wanted to understand, I'm kind of a data person. So I wanted to say, okay, yes, I love hearing sales from your perspective as a salesperson, but I want to hear what the customers think. I want some data that says, this is what customers like. This is what they don't like. These are the days they get called more, you know, all this great data that I wanted to use as I went out to become a successful salesperson. And I couldn't find it anywhere. There was nobody that had ever done it. And so I said, well, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to figure it out. And so a lot of the information that I researched came from customers saying, well, we don't actually like it when you talk about how you can save us money, which is very counterintuitive to sales because we always get taught, oh, well, you know, if you can just show them you can save them money, it's all about the ROI. Why wouldn't they want to save money? But customers told me in my research, well, actually, you know, you don't know anything about our business yet. So we don't believe you when you say you can save us money. And I'm the one that negotiated that deal probably. So you're kind of telling me I did a bad job. If you're telling me right off the bat that I can do better with you. So that's just one of the many examples that I found that. So I do use a lot of that in my sales training, in addition to my, you know, years of experience in selling.
I think that's great. Now going out there and finding that, what is that one core belief that people have that you need to change to make them listen to all of the other great stuff that you have?
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes it is surprising. You know, you think this really goes against conventional wisdom. Can I really believe it? But the customers are the ones saying it, so I guess we should believe it.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I always ask my authors when I only work with nonfiction authors. And one of the ways that I instruct them in their planning phase is to come up with what are the three aha moments that the reader is going to get. And quite often authors, they struggle a little bit there, like pinpointing what is it exactly that my audience don't know or will surprise them, or what's going to change their mind. They know what they teach, but they quite often kind of miss that small component. And those are great hooks in your book as well.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I. That's funny that you say that, because as I was writing the book, I listened to a podcast on storytelling, and I felt like it was really helpful because he talked about, yes, it's important to tell a story and paint the picture and all these things, but you really have to drive it home at the end with the message you're trying to give them. And that was an exercise I'd never done before. I found it to be very helpful. And when I did it, it really was easy to really illustrate to me, okay, this is really what my book is about. And it's all about my minutia of teaching the 8 hours and all that. But really, you know, I can drive it home with the message when I do the storytelling.
Yeah. So how have you used the storytelling then? Do you use a story arch throughout the book, or how have you done it, or more
examples?
Well,
so in the book, I talk about, I would say I give more individual stories, but one of the stories that I talk about is it's important to tell stories when you do sales presentations. And so I give an example of a sales presentation that I had done and the lessons I learned from it. And that's sort of an example that I give of, you know, any presentation you do is going to be so much more powerful if you can tell a story, even if it's not related to what you're selling, if you can, you know, really get it back to it. And one of the stories that I used when I was in sales was I would tell the story about how when I first became a mom, I always said I would never drive a minivan. Never, ever, ever would I drive a minivan. It's not happening. But then I had the baby and I realized that, you know, carrying a little carrier and trying to open a car door is very tricky. And so when I went out and started looking for cars, I thought, I'm just going to consider a minivan. So when I went and looked at it, they showed me the automatic door where you just push the button and the door magically opens. And I thought, this is amazing. This is going to make my life so much easier. And then I relate it back to the customer and say, so that's what I'm here to do today, is to show you how I'm going to make your life easier with our product. And when I met with you, you told me, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then I relate it back to making their life easier using the information I've already learned about them. So I talk about that in the book of using that type of story to paint the picture and prepare the customer for what you're going to tell them.
So do you also include theory in your book?
You know, I like to say my book is more, I would say, tactical rather than theoretical. There's so many wonderful books about sales theory out there, but I didn't feel like there were a lot of great books about, okay, so what's my step one? How can I do this? How can I really get out there and tackle this? I know what I need to do in theory, but I don't know what I need to do in practice. And so I would say my book is more tactical rather than theoretical.
Super. I know that you also teach sales funnels. So have you built a sales funnel for your own book? Proper book funnel, or how does that work in your business?
That's funny that you say that, because now that I'm actually in sale or in having my own business, I actually don't have to do nearly as much cold calling as I used to have to do. I still do it for research purposes, but because I have a fairly big presence on LinkedIn and now I've kind of gathered somewhat of a reputation, I don't have to go out and solicit customers. They more come to me. And so I really don't have necessarily, I mean, I have customers that I know that I've talked to over the years that never materialize that I'll go back to every once in a while, but I don't keep a traditional sales funnel the same way I used to when I was in sales.
I guess you could have a digital sales funnel, a book funnel, because I see that you also target individual people, not just companies. These are two very different types of sales, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yes. And the individuals are some of the ones that I love to talk to the most that'll come back and say, you know, I read your book and I'm now changed the way I send emails and I've had great response. And it's really fun to hear from people when they do read it just on their own.
Yes. Okay. So I know that you published in September, like you mentioned. So how is it going? How do you keep momentum in your marketing? Now you're over that first thrill of the launch. And I guess you, like so many others, discover that it's a marathon.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I've had a couple of things that I've tried to do along the way that I still try to do, one of which is to really get a lot of reviews. And, you know, some of them are just from friends, of course, but whenever somebody says, oh, I really liked your book, I try to always turn around and say, thank you so much. And would you write a review for me? It would mean a lot. Or if somebody wants me to look at, you know, for example, an email that they've written or their resume or something, I do try to always do favors for people, but I always ask for something in return and say, I'd love to. And will you write a review for me? And I think that really helps, because I think it helps particularly individuals who wouldn't have known me otherwise in a business world, like maybe some of the sales leaders that I work with, be more comfortable buying the book. And then, you know, my biggest marketing, honestly, is from LinkedIn. So as I said, a fairly big presence on LinkedIn. And every time I do a post, I did a post this week that has gone real viral, which they don't always do, but this one has almost 3 million views already. And you can just see my, you know, my book sales go way up when I have a good viral post. So I do put a lot of time and thought into my posts to try to get that marketing going.
Was that about the book?
No, it wasn't about the book at all. It was about actually a scenario where a sales manager was trying to push someone into getting a purchase order when they shouldn't have, and they should have been more valuing that customer relationship. And because it was that the purchasing person was out sick, and they were like, well, call them anyway, get somebody else to do that for PO. And it really resonated with people, because unfortunately that is something that happens a lot in the world of sales, is people, the managers are, they can't really see the forest from the trees. They just want the PO so bad, they'll do anything to get it. So it's really resonated with people. So it actually had nothing to do with the book, but then I always put a note under my post saying, you know, if for more tips on sales, you know, you can buy my book here.
Perfect. Do you send them to Amazon or your website then?
I send them to Amazon usually, actually.
Yeah. It's also a good idea to keep that visibility up. You need to feed your book page there as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, then they can see the reviews there and all that, like I said, which is nice.
Yes. So if you look back, what are some things that you would have done differently?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, first of all, I would have done it earlier, I think, because I think I waited too long. I mean, not too long. I wish I would have put aside the time to do it earlier in my career, because I do think it really establishes your credibility in such a unique way that even a podcast I don't think can do. So I wish I would have done it earlier. Let me think, what else would I do differently?
That's kind of a classic.
Is it? Yeah. I can see that. I can see that. I mean, other than that, I actually feel pretty, you know, I mean, there's little mistakes you can make along the way, but nothing that's really glaring out at me that, ah, if only I'd done this.
Yeah. So what held you back? Why did it take so long then?
I would say it was one of those things where I wasn't prioritizing it from a timing perspective. I just was like, it's going to take too long to do it. And I can make more immediate money if I focus on my customers. You know, I do feel like last year, my personal sales suffered a little bit because I was so focused on the book. I was not probably taking as many customers as I normally would have, which is, you know, unfortunate. But at the same time, now this year, I'm, you know, once the book came out, that I'm more than making up for it. So it would have been smarter of me to see the forest from the trees and realize, you know, it's important to take the time to do it, because it'll pay off in the long run.
How long did it take you to write it?
Actually, it took, I would say, 3 months, which was not too long. I was feel like I was faster than some, because I did have all the content already put together. And so it was just a matter of kind of saying, okay, normally this would be an hour long presentation on this topic. So that's going to be one chapter. And my editor did tell me that a lot of times people take a lot longer because they're trying to organize it just from scratch. And I luckily had already thought through all the organizing of it, which made it go faster.
I think there's a really important point to take there. For anyone who already teaches their subject, don't listen to how long it takes to write a book. That's one thing. But also that if your book is to serve as a lead generator, what you want is to teach. Focus on teaching skills rather than writing skills. And you already do that in your business.
Right. So, absolutely.
So I hope that kind of mindset can help some people start a little bit sooner.
Yes, I know. I agree.
Yeah. And then also you mentioned that it's an investment and it's for the long term.
Right.
Definitely a marathon rather than a sprint. So in your business, Katie, what's next for you? Where's this going to take you? What will your business
look like?
Well, I think
it'll hopefully take me continuing to get more speaking engagements and that kind of thing. And then in the past, I would say I was more of a traditional sales trainer. And now I think I'm starting to become more of a keynote speaker. Well, in both, I would say both. But, and that's a really kind of a whole different beast. You know, you can get, you know, go to conferences, you can go, I mean, I can do all kinds of different speaking about becoming an author or becoming a female entrepreneur and all these things that I think will just continue to build as I get my book out there more and become more of a well-known, not authority necessarily in every scenario, but just someone that knows about different things. And I think it will continue to take me to different areas, and mostly speaking, where the money really is.
Yeah. And also quite often a lot of traveling. So yes. are you looking into how this is going to impact your personal life as well?
Well, you know, going back to why it took me so long, that is, I would say, one other reason that I didn't pursue it as heavily back then, because my kids were littler. In particular, my daughter would get very stressed when I would leave. So I really kind of got lucky during COVID because everyone was staying home. So I had to stay home so I could really ramp up my business without having to leave. But now my kids are getting older, and I actually think it's kind of good for them when I leave. It teaches them a little bit of independence. Oh, I have to pack my own lunch today. And so I think as they get older, it will allow me to free up my time a little bit more. And I do, if my home life is taken care of, I really enjoy traveling. I love being on a plane and listening to music. And so I think that'll be more fun as time goes on too.
Yeah, I'm sure it will give you lots of network as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, conferences are great for networking, not
Yes.
just, and especially as a speaker.
Yes, that's
quite
very
often.
True.
Yeah. Have you experienced that too, that you really tie knots? Tie knots.
Yeah, it's funny, as time has gone on, I've become more of there's been so many different things outside of my normal niche that I, like, for example, I have one coming up for a roofing company. It's a commercial roofing company, which is not something I've ever sold before or been involved in, but, you know, we got introduced by networking, and, you know, sales is sales. And so they're, you know, having me come in and talk to them, even though that's not my normal niche, but they, in fact, some of them even have read the book and they're like, oh, it's so great. You know, they've already been excited about it. So I do think networking is just such a wonderful way to get new business, for sure.
So are you planning any more books?
You know, I don't have any in percolating in my brain yet. I actually love kids' books, children's books. So I feel like maybe someday I might venture out into writing a kid's book. But as far as a sales book goes, I'm still percolating on it.
Yeah. It's quite common that I see that after a short while, actually, authors quite often, they get, in the beginning, it feels like a, not necessarily a struggle, but it's definitely a huge task to take on.
Right.
Or it feels like that until you start, at least. But then quite often, it's like giving birth. You kind of forget real quick.
It's so true. It's so true. And it's so satisfying. So I'm sure you just want to keep doing it, you know, sort of get addicted to the thrill, I bet.
So let us know, what's the title of your book and how can people learn more about you?
Yes, it's called The Sales Tightrope. And the idea is that you can kind of balance the fine line between being an annoying sales rep, but still being very, using research to balance that fine line between still being a top performer, but not being too annoying as a sales rep. And I'm on LinkedIn, and I have a website that we can link to as well.
Super.
And TikTok.
And my final question, what would be your number one advice for a new author?
I would say enjoy the process. I mean, I, as you said, was very daunted by the process originally, and sort of just looking at the finish line, like, how am I going to ever get this done? And then when I really kind of settled down and enjoyed the process, there were moments where I would read something that I had written and I would go, I can't believe I wrote that. That was really good. And so, and then it really became a fun process for me. I was almost kind of sad when it was over. So I would say just try not to stress about it too much, enjoy the process, and then really enjoy it when it's done.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you so much for having me.